Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So I was wondering if I could start off by asking you what you made of the Eurostat figures on CO2 emissions in the European Union.
Yes, so there's many different things to say about that. But first of all, obviously, they're preliminary figures, although I don't think they will change much. They only focus on CO2, while the European Environment Agency reports on greenhouse gas emissions in general, of which CO2 is, of course, an important part. And it's hard to make conclusions on the basis of 1 year. But, of course, it's not good news that the European Union isn't continuing also in 2015 on its sharp decline of emissions as we have seen it in the previous years. At the same time, we need to acknowledge that there was a very sharp decline in 2014 of more than 4% in 1 year, which is quite a lot. Continuing an annual reduction of 4% would bring us to zero quite rapidly, actually. So it's clear that that is one of the reasons that we saw a sharp decline in 2014, so 2015 was more of a stabilization. Okay. I think the most worrying is probably that a few countries who are already not on track to meet their objectives for 2020 are obviously not coming closer in 2015, but are going in the opposite direction, and that's very worrying.
Which countries are they?
Well, that's in particular, Belgium, Ireland, and Austria. Those are three countries whose emissions have increased, while actually they have been mentioned by the European, or they have been referred to by the European Commission as countries that are not on track to reach their 2020 objectives on the basis of the numbers in 2014. So adding the fact that they're increasing their emissions in 2015 is definitely not a good sign that these countries have taken the warnings from the European Commission seriously, and that's a worrying thing.
Why do you think they're not making progress?
Well, they're all countries that struggle in particular with transport emissions, which I think is an important element of growing emission reductions, and they will need to take measures. It's clear that they will need to do that. They've been trying to postpone that. For instance, a country like Belgium still has a high amount of fossil fuel subsidies to car fleet through the through company cars, and they will have to bring those to an end. There's nothing to do about that. So they will really need to come up with programs to tackle emissions from transport, for instance.
Okay. You touched on it earlier in your introduction. You said that these figures are for CO2 emissions, and they're only a part of total greenhouse gas emissions. Can you give us a rough percentage of how much they make up of greenhouse gases?
They make up around between 75 to 80%. So it's a large majority.
Okay.
So the indications here there will be no strong reverse of this, but it might be that including other gases, that instead of having an increase, it might be more close to zero. I don't really know that. But the trend is clear. We don't have the similar reductions that we had the last couple of years when we saw overall greenhouse gas emission reductions of almost 2% per year on average in the last 6 years. So there's clearly, this is clearly different.
Okay. And what other countries should we be most concerned about in terms of CO2 emissions, given these figures?
Well, as I already said, what is most concerning is those countries who are actually already lagging behind, which includes Belgium and Ireland and Austria. There's a couple of countries that are very high on this ranking in terms of increasing emissions in 2015, but most of those countries, which includes Slovakia, Portugal, Hungary, are actually well beyond their targets for 2020 already. So for their individual targets, they actually have some space, and there might be reasons why they have increased their emissions in 2015. It depends also whether this is one-off issue or whether this is going to continue in the coming years, and that's where, of course, it's hard to make conclusions on this one single year. While we have seen strong reductions in countries like Hungary or Portugal in the last couple of years, whether this is now a changing trend or whether this is a one-off is hard to say. So I'm less concerned about those countries. I'm more concerned about the other ones.
Okay. For me, I was just looking at the figures, and I saw that in terms of the share of total EU emissions, the largest, so we're talking about Germany, Italy, Poland, France, and the UK, only the UK has reduced emissions over the last year. Germany is the same as 2014. Italy, Poland, and France have all increased. Is that a concern?
Yes, it's a concern, but it's not new. Germany has been struggling with the impact of its energy vendor, where they're trying to get out of the nuclear energy, which kind of has reduced their capacity to phase out coal. I mean, there is a decline of the use of coal in Germany, but they're still very much reliant on coal, and that's why they're actually not on track to meet their own individual targets. I mean, they have a European target, but they also have an individual target according to German law. They might have some struggles there, but I'm sure that they will be able to deal with that. For Poland, it's kind of a general concern that Poland is not really giving a lot of attention to implementing forward-looking climate and energy policies, and that's partly because there's some mythology around coal in Poland, with coal miners having played an important role in getting rid of communism, et cetera, which is why there's a reluctance to reduce the use of coal to the extent that in the debate there is now. There's large amounts of government subsidies going to support coal mines. And France, I don't really know where it's due that they have increased their numbers, but of course also there's it's something that we need to keep looking at. In principle, they're well on track to reach their targets for 2020, but of course if this is going to be repeated in the coming years, that would definitely be a worrying sign.
Okay, and where are the countries that are making the most progress as far as you're concerned?
Well, of course, there are several reasons why countries reduce their emissions, and as you notice, one of those is, for instance, Greece. I wouldn't say that Greece makes a lot of progress, but because of the economic crisis, they definitely have been suffering. I would say that countries like Denmark and Finland clearly have invested a lot in further promoting renewable energy and energy efficiency and so on, and you see that they are continuing to strongly reduce. Denmark, even with almost 10%, which is really, it's an amazing number. And then you have a number of the former Eastern European countries that are still further reducing their emissions, partly because of economic reorganizations.
Is that the answer for you then, to shift to renewables? Is that what Germany and Poland should be doing?
Yes, definitely. In the first phase, they should look at how they can reduce and even phase out the use of coal and replace that by reducing the demand for energy where possible, and replacing it then with renewable energy.
And Do you know what the challenges are for these countries in, I mean, is there a reluctance, like you were saying, in Poland because of the coal mining unions?
There is, of course, the problem is that any transition has winners and losers, and that is also the case for the energy transition. The question will be what kind of measures can government develop to ensure that those workers and those communities that will be negatively affected by moving away from coal or other fossil fuels, that they have alternatives. Because not necessarily renewable energy or wind power, etc., will be developed in the same places as where coal mines or coal factories are. So we need to see at what kind of development we can offer to those communities that are affected. And I think that is one of the main challenges, both for Poland, but also for Germany, is what real alternatives can be offered to those people.
So the EU has committed to a 20% cut in greenhouse gas emissions by 2020. I mean, it's early days with these figures. Does it put in peril this this overall target?
No, not at the moment. The fact is that in 2014, overall greenhouse gas emissions were already minus 23%
On
compared to
1990
1990.
figures,
Yeah.
yeah.
So unless we now see a complete shift, which I think it's too early to say, I don't think that the 2020 target is in peril. What this shows is that countries are not really grasping that they actually need to do much more on the longer term if they want to be in line with the agreement they made in Paris last December. And that's, I think, where we need to see countries really making the shift from slowly moving forward to having a longer-term vision of how will we actually move out of the use of fossil fuels, which in the long term is what they've promised in Paris.
This is
So,
the Paris Agreement was 40% by 2030, is that right?
well, that's the European Union commitment under the Paris Agreement, but in the Paris Agreement, it also says that as one of the objectives of the agreement is to phase out greenhouse gas emissions in the second half of this century. And I think, of course, countries will be looking at Europe to play a leadership role in showing how that can be done. So all of the EU member states need to look at how do we set up such pathways towards phasing out the use of fossil fuels. And that, I think, the Eurostat figures show that we're not yet looking at that. We're still kind of in a vague period where suddenly countries increase their emissions sometimes relatively strongly by 5% or more. And there we need to see a change and a much sharper decline in emissions than we have them now.
So the 2020 target isn't in danger, but perhaps the 2030 is more so. Is that what you're saying?
The 2020 target is definitely not in danger. I, on the basis of these numbers, I would not think the 2030 target is in danger, but it doesn't. These numbers don't show that the EU really has this long-term perspective of actually needing to do more than what they already committed.
Is it the EU or is it individual countries? I mean, how much
Yeah.
power?
Obviously, it's individual countries that, because it's a combination, there's a number of policies that are really set at the EU level, and there's a number of policies that really are developed at the national level. I think it's both. It's the EU member states individually all have a certain responsibility, and I think the European Commission can even be stronger in setting up infringement procedures when certain member states are not implementing what they should be doing according to European legislation.
Okay. Wendell, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me. Was there anything you wanted to add at all?
No, I think this is it.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.